Good morning. On this 1st and 2nd of July, we're going to look at community radios. So the idea is to take stock of the situation about this kind of radio. We will look at the reality of community radios on three continents, in Africa, South America, and Europe. So how do they operate there? What is the place of community radios there compared to public radios, compared to commercial private radios, or if compared to the lack of radios? So what is the place of that media compared to television and to the new media that are developing and that can share similarities with community radios, as was the case in the beginning of the 80s in Europe? With a reduced broadcasting cost, interactivity with the audience, a non-commercial private initiative. As to the time, we will look at the current reality of community radios and to look at the future. I think it's important to share with you two historical realities that are specific to Belgium and to the Brussels-Wallonia Federation of Belgium. 1914 was the first year of the Second War, but few citizens know that it is at that, during that year that the Belgian radio started. It was a very short experience because the pilot broadcaster that was installed in the gardens of the Royal House in Laeken stopped at the beginning of the war. Then we had to wait till the 1920 before seeing the emergence of the first private radios, and then 1930. With the creation of the National Broadcasting Radio Institution. So Belgium celebrates its 100th anniversary of the creation of radio. The rebirth of the private radio sector for the Federation of Brussels-Wallonia and as from the 1970s was seen from the angle of community radios. Indeed, the first decree of 1981 that provided with the statutes of radios, it mainly aims at urban citizens. Local radios have to favor access of citizens to the radios, and as to the broadcast, the program, it has to aim at cultural, civil, and social issues. In the focus must be on permanent education as well. Community or local radio, they're independent from the public powers, have to organize a public meeting every year to allow for a meeting between the audiences and those in charge of these community radios. 3 decades later, one has to acknowledge that the mainstreaming private radio model does no longer look like the beginning of the first radios. There are still about 20 radios like this out of the 90 active radios in the Brussels-Wallonia Federation. The radio environment has developed in the last 30 years because of the competition between private operators and public operators. Well, community radios have always been taken into consideration both by public authorities and the competing operators. We had to wait till 2008 and 2010 to have these radios stabilized from a technical and economic point of view. In 2008, the CAS gave licenses for 11 years to private community radios. As from 2010, A fee was imposed to the RTBF and the other radios, so community radios finally did have access to a public funding. In order to guarantee the cultural diversity, the CSA will take into consideration radio community radios when authorizing radios to broadcast. So the CSA, among one of its recommendations, radios that are called radios of expression will get 1/3 of frequency in major cities. These radios that are called radios of expression, that we can also call community radios. So we say this because there was also another category of community radios, radios aiming at cultural communities and groups. So these radios of expression, as we used to call them in 2008, are those that most match the category of community radios that we will look at today. In one of its definitions of a radio of expression, it says that it doesn't aim at a given group. The objective is to reinforce cultural diversity through the broadcasting of contents that are not or very little represented in the other media. So a high diversity of the contents, decentralized broadcasting, alternative music, so the content aims at ongoing education, and there are slots of hours that are dedicated to some groups that do not have access to other cultural media. It's a non-profit sector, and as I've said, one of the aims is to make sure there is ongoing education. So that's the definition given by the Federation of Brussels Wallonia. The future of technologies is not the main issue that we look at during these 2 days, but still it is important to take that into consideration when talking about future community radios within the framework of digital radios and mainly terrestrial radios. In our federation, these radios are more locally focused. It is the architecture of digital frequencies that we'll have to take to integrate their specificities in order to guarantee cultural diversity, and the CSA will make sure it is so. Ladies and gentlemen, when co-organizing the annual seminar jointly with the RACIC, the CSA has created relationship with the regulators. There is a strong cooperation, and this is why a CSA can host university trainees and can reward a prize every year. Young graduates are involved in a research center on the audiovisual means, and there is an audiovisual center which is opened to students and researchers. Dedicating the annual seminar to one aspect of radio, CSA shows its interest in that sector, in the audiovisual sector. It is in 1980, with the first free radios, that the Council of Local Independent Radios was set up. And some members of that first council are here today with us. It was mainly an advisory body representing the different currents that did illustrate the development of radios at that time. And that body had to shortlist the radios that did not have access to the very few available frequencies.